Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday will be picking up from where we left off last Sunday. If you were here last Sunday, I spoke from 1 Peter to the second chapter and read from verses 11 through the end of the chapter, but we only actually covered verses 11 and 12. So I'd like to read again this morning from verse 13 through verse 25. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 13 through verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 13, where we read as follows in the name of our Lord. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward or the evil. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins, in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen. Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Sometimes the Word of God is tough to swallow. It's tough to swallow because we in our humanness and in our human wisdom think that we know better. We know exactly how one ought to function in society. We know how one ought to go about living his life in this world, especially in the sense of the kingdom of the left hand. The kingdom of the left hand is, I think Martin Luther is one who coined the phrase, but I better be careful in saying that. I didn't look that up just recently. But nevertheless, the kingdom of the right hand, in our understanding of it, would be the kingdom of God to which we belong, and the kingdom of the left hand is the carnal kingdom which we live under in our current existence in this world. Now, what Peter brings forth here is actually quite astounding, because the whole reason for him bringing forth what he brings forth here is not just simply to tell people to shapen up and obey the speed limits and stop, you know, poaching deer or taking too many fish or something along those lines. Although you could put that in here. He's talking about being submissive to these governing authorities. But he tells you to do it not for your own sake, although it's beneficial for you to obey the law. But actually, he says, to do it for the Lord's sake. When you submit to governing authorities, you're doing it for the Lord's sake, because this is what God has actually called you now to do as you live out your lives in this world. Sometimes we're like, we fall back to the Old Testament way of thinking, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and so on and so forth. You can read all of that in the books of Moses, the books of the law. But we are to understand, as I have stressed, I stress more in whole last week, the idea of who we are now as the children of God, how we have been purchased and redeemed and made in His image. We've been remade, as it were, in His image. And by the way, that's the whole import of the day of Pentecost. None of this is what we speak about here is even possible apart from the help of God. Without the day of Pentecost happening and the birth of the church taking place, what we are speaking about is an impossibility. Because we would be like the rest of the world and society. We would simply go out there and establish our own rules and our own ways. And we would do what seems right in our own eyes. And as you look at our current world in which we live, this is exactly what you see. People are simply going out and doing what they want to do according to their own way of thinking, according to their own judgment. What they decide is right or wrong, what they decide according to their inward thinking or something along those lines, instead of simply coming under the authority of the Word. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Because the reason you are doing this is you are demonstrating to the world, to your governing authorities, in fact, who your God is. You do what you do in this world not simply for your own sake. You do it because you are now under the authority and rule of someone else. You are not owned anymore by of your own. You are owned by someone else, namely God. And so he says, it's time to submit. Submit yourselves to every ordinance, whether it be to the kings as supreme, or unto governors as them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the reward or praise of them that do well. Paul writes about this actually in Titus and in Romans, in fact. In the 13th chapter of Romans, y'all are familiar with this, but let's hear it again. Romans chapter 13, first 7 verses. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, but for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves condemnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister or servant of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. And that's key. That's key. Because not for conscience in the sense that we might think of it in a sense of burdening my conscience with sin, but rather we have this understanding now of who we are. We have this understanding of who we are now in Christ. And that actually flavors every aspect of our life. Whether it's the way we go out and conduct our lives in this world, or whether it's the way you conduct your life here in this church, among your family, wherever it might be, that flavors everything that you do. You do it because you understand who you are. For this cause, in verse 6 of Romans 13, For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And that means our president too, by the way. There's nothing, I mean, I don't want to wax political here, but our society needs to learn to respect. Sadly, respect has flown away on the wings of the morning. And people nowadays have no respect for anybody. They simply do what they want to do. But the scripture calls you and I, who are the followers of Jesus Christ, to respect those who are placed in authority. Plain and simple. Whether it's police officers or our president. The law of the land simply tells us that we are to obey them, and the word of God tells us the same as well. We may look around us, and this is hard for any one of us, we may look around us and say, well, I don't like that law, so therefore I am not going to abide under that law. You're not listening to the word of God, you're listening to your own rebellious heart. Now, you all know the disclaimer that's coming. Because we understand, according to the word of God as well, that if the government asks us to do something that is contrary to what the word of God says, the word of God trumps the law of the land. How's that for a pun? The word of God is over and above the law of this land. And so Peter says, this is what you are to do as the children of God. As the children of God, as those who have been purchased and redeemed, he says, this is now how it is for you. You understand the government and its, in all of its carnality, is put in place by God. And they're put in place there simply so that the land doesn't go into some sort of disarray. It's the law of the land that holds, for the most part, I understand it doesn't work perfectly, it holds people accountable so that they don't simply go out into this world and just do whatever they want. And we live in a state of anarchy or a state of complete chaos. So we have the law. And so he says, and notice verse 15, and this is why I say it's not simply just about that. It's about who you are as a follower of Christ. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Here he speaks about people who are ignorant of the Christian faith. And who basically spout off things like, you know, they're hateful people, they're this, they're that, they're, you know, you hear of all the terms. You understand what that's all about. And so are we to rise up and act in kind? To lash out them at them with the tongue of the flesh and simply demonstrate to them that they're exactly right? No, the church is called to a higher calling. Where the church, by well-doing, demonstrates to this world who their God is. I've said it over and over again, and it's verifiable by the scripture. We are called to do good works. We are called to serve in our churches, yes, but to serve in our communities as well as good citizens of this land, so that people, upon seeing us, have nothing that they can hold against us. And actually, they are rendered foolish. Read the book of Proverbs sometime. Proverbs is full of this. The wise person actually subjects himself to the punishment or to discipline. The foolish person doesn't, runs about thinking he knows everything and rattles his mouth, up, 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 demonstrating to the world exactly that's what he is. So he says, this is the will of God. This is what God wants. That with well-doing you would put to silence the foolishness of ignorant men. People who have no idea. The ignorance actually of foolish men. And then he says, as free. And you see, I love this. As free and not using your freedom or liberty for a cloak of maliciousness or something to cover up evil. He says, you actually are doing this not because you are bound to do it by a taskmaster who holds a whip over you and drives you into submission. No, actually, this is an attitude of the heart. You have been set free. Christ has come and set you free. You are free from the law. You are free in this world to go about and serve people. You see, there's a huge difference between freedom to serve myself and freedom to serve people. If I simply express my freedom in Christ by saying, well, then I can go out and indulge in a few things here or there, whatever else it might be, then that's just a cloak of maliciousness. I'm using my freedom to actually cover up my evil. And all along the scripture, though it calls us to freedom, does not set us free in the sense that we can somehow go out and live a willy-nilly lifestyle. No, it's a freedom that calls us to serve. Paul himself writes in Galatians, and you're familiar with this as well, I'm sure. But in Galatians chapter 5, if I can find it quickly here, he says, for brethren, in verse 13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. You've been called unto freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but in love, serve one another. That's true freedom. True freedom sets aside all of my biases. It sets upon all of my preconceived notions and judgments about people, and I simply go out there and serve them as God gives me the ability to do so. I do it because this is who I am now in Christ. I serve people, and by serving them, I show them who their God is. And when I serve my enemies, Paul says in Romans 15, he says, you heap coals of fire on their head. Because we are never called to simply strike out with the sword of the flesh, but with the sword of the Spirit, or the Word of God. He goes on to say, honor all men. And this is what I mean. Honor all men. All value. He says, put value on all people everywhere. And I think it's self-explanatory, isn't it? Even those people we don't like that much. He says, you value, you honor all men because you understand God is their creator. And so therefore, you esteem them as valuable. And you bring the message of the gospel to them by what you do and what you say, perhaps, but more by what you do. Love the brotherhood or the church. Is that easy for you to do? Answer that honestly. Is that easy for you to do? Do you love the church? Peter's words are indicting. Because we are called to a far higher standard than we could ever reach in and of ourselves. Because we have been called now to do something that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount is beyond just simply trying hard. It's called perfection. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. There's no middle ground to that statement. There's no, well, you know, I'm going to try real hard, and if I get to this plateau in my life, well, perhaps I've reached far enough. No, you don't even think along those lines. You understand that you are perfect already in Christ, and therefore, as I said already, this flavors what you do. You love the brotherhood. You love the church. The church needs to be made more lovable. Sadly, and we don't experience it perhaps so much here in this community, but maybe we do. Maybe there's people out there who are living in this area around this church who would never go to Spruce Grove. Why would I ever go there? Those people are so judgmental, blah, blah, on it goes. And sadly enough, they're right. I hate to say it. But we have expressed that, the church, and I mean not even Spruce Grove, but I mean the church universal, the church as it's functioned from its inception or its birth all the way up through this time has demonstrated to the world that it's a place where only it's a club actually for saints instead of a hospital for sinners. And we're going to wind up at that point as we come down to the end of this text. Love the church. Peter says, love the church. Our dear sister, I shared with you already, Marge, loves the church. Because it's from these people, and the church, obviously, as you know, it isn't just a building. The church is, in fact, the people who are named by the name of Christ, those who are Christian in this world. She loves this church because from this place she finds her strength and encouragement and edification. All of the things that we need in our lives as we live out our lives in this world as Christian people. We need one another, which is why Peter exhorts the people there who are the strangers who live all around that area, who find themselves living in a foreign land. He says, you go and you find people like yourself so that you're able to work together and build one another up and go out into this world and change this world in the name of Christ. Fear God. Above all, fear God. We are God-fearing people, or we ought to be. God-fearing people are people who have a respect and an awe of their God and a concern for what His Word says. If His Word says that this is an abomination, then we simply say it's an abomination because that's what the Lord said. If the Lord says this is what you are to do, then this is what we do because that's what our Lord and our God said. But all of this is actually under the rubric or teaching of love. It is love, actually, that motivates us to go out into this world. It's not simply just fear. Even as if you were to read John's letters, you would find there very clearly that he talks about love being the motivating factor that actually motivates us to do what we do. Fear, in the sense of just being afraid, actually paralyzes us. And we don't dare to move. We don't dare to go out and confront our society because we're afraid. We might get tainted by them. But the Word tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. Honor the king. Again, you know, we don't have a king, we have a president. Honor him. You might not like everything he says. We know, and I think I can say this fairly openly, we know what Donald Trump says isn't always so hot. And I encounter enough people in my visiting that say, well, whew, man, I wish he wouldn't say so much. But we are to honor him. Whether you like his policies or not, whether you like what he says or not, the scripture says to honor him, to respect him and his office. And that's what we're missing. And I'm not saying we're missing that here in this church. Perhaps we are. I don't know. I don't know each one of you personally in your political standpoint, but that's not even the point, political standpoint or not. When we had a president in there that we didn't like, we still were called on to honor him, to respect him, to understand his office, the office that he holds as president of this country, and to pray for him, that God would work through him, whoever that person might be, in order to bring about his agenda in this world. He moves on here, running out of time again. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And this is perhaps difficult to carry over into our day and age as well, because this is talking about someone who's actually owned by another person. A servant or a slave is a better translation of this term. And so he says, you are to be subject or submit to your masters, whether they are nice or whether they are not so nice. And I thought about this a lot, and I'm not sure if there's a carryover at all into our world. I suppose you could say there is, because you would want to do the best job that you could possibly do, whether you like your boss or you don't like your boss. But then again, we can just quit. You know, as we look at our world and the way it is. And so I looked at this more along these lines, especially with what follows. More along the lines of suffering abuse for being a Christian. As you work out in the society and in this world, and a lot of you work perhaps for Christian bosses, so this isn't such a problem for you. But those of you who work for bosses perhaps who aren't Christian, you know, everything about your job is good. You get good pay, good benefits, all of this, all of the stuff that you need to sustain life in this world, but your boss is very antagonistic towards you in your Christian faith. He says, you take it. You take it. You suffer the abuse. And you take it patiently. You don't lash out in anger. You simply just take it, because this is what Christ calls you to do. Because simply by taking what they give you, you are showing to them already the graciousness of your God. Notice what he says. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, in other words, if you be buffeted because you did the wrong thing, say, what's the big deal there if you take that patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. This is actually a gracious thing in the eyes of the Lord. So he says, and actually I guess I did skip over verse 19. Verse 19 in essence says the same thing. For this is thankworthy or gracious. This is a gracious thing if a man for conscience toward God, in other words, as in his consciousness of God, endures grief, suffering wrongfully. In other words, because you understand who you are as a follower of Christ now, conscience of your God and who you serve, he says, you are able to go out into this world and serve this world even when this world does not serve you. When you suffer the abuse of this world, because you are called to this. Even here unto where you called, because Christ also suffered for us. In verse 21, I'm going to read on down right through this. You're familiar with these verses. For even here unto where you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. The songwriter says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And you see, because we stand amazed at the work of Jesus Christ, this now becomes our work as well as we confront this world. We are gracious, we are kind, and we serve it. He says, for you are like sheep going astray, but you have returned now to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You were like sheep going astray, but you have returned now to the shepherd and your and the bishop or overseer of your souls. So, he says, act like it. In essence, act like it. As you live out your lives here in this world and in this community, act like this one is actually your bishop and overseer. Do what is right in this world. Serve this world. Serve the people of this world. And understand that this is what God wants from you. This is way more important than any of your religious endeavors that you do. Your Bible readings and prayer and all of these things that you can bring forth and offer as some sort of a sacrifice or servant of God. He says, no, go out there and take care of my people, because on the day of judgment, that's what will judge you. He will simply say to you, come unto me, all ye. Well, the sheep on his right hand. And why do they come to him? What did they do? Well, they took care of the ones who were sick, who were in prison, and so on and so forth. And the ones who didn't do these things were the goats on the left hand. You were like sheep going astray, but you have returned now to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So do what's right. Amen.